Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back here with you.
Good. And happy Pentecost Day.
Yeah.
Woo.
Happy Holy Spirit Day.
For us Pentecostal charismatic types, this is a big feast day.
It is.
Very exciting.
It is.
Yeah, very exciting. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the 120 people in the upper room, which I think we'll probably talk a little bit about. But it pretty exciting. I was thinking when, as I started saying that, that a couple of weeks ago and last week we talked about the Great Commission and being ambassadors. And we said over and over, well, a few times we repeated that, you know, Jesus gives them the commission and then the Holy Spirit empowers them.
Right.
And this Pentecost morning, and you're all familiar with the account in Acts 2, and we're going to have Stephen read that in a second, but it's a really great example of the Holy Spirit empowering a bunch of people that up to this point have been, well, scared, timid, worried, kind of dopey.
Yeah. They had locked themselves in the upper room, and well, they were there. I mean, Jesus told them to stay, wait here, and pray. So
yeah.
they were following orders.
Yes,
but they were, you know, when Jesus first started appearing to them, they were in fear of the authorities and the Jewish and the you know, the leaders of the day.
I'm sure they kept the door locked.
Yeah,
but it's got 120 people. You know, it's a pretty good sized room to have 120 people in there.
It is. Wonder if they had like big screen TVs and stuff.
No, probably not. No.
Room service?
Then they had to decide like what they were going to eat. And,
should we order out or just dine in?
Yeah. Somebody went for takeout Chinese, and sometimes they had pizza delivered.
Oh, man. Wow.
Kosher pizza, of
course. Kosher. Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
Because Peter hadn't been to Acts chapter 10 yet. We're still in Acts chapter 2.
It wasn't written yet, was it?
No.
Are you done with Acts chapter 10 yet so we get us some pizza? It's almost done, Peter. Hold on. A couple more lines to go.
Yeah, he didn't know Cornelius yet either.
So. No, he didn't. Yeah, that didn't happen.
But, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that about the, you know, sort of the thing with the Great Commission where, you know, Luke's account says, you know, don't leave the city until you're clothed with power
from on high.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus, after commissioning them, also knew where they stood in terms of their abilities to do this.
And
that they were not only going to go to, you know, the towns around Jerusalem and maybe get 100 miles or so up, but they were going to go all over the world.
Yeah.
And looking at those bunch of guys, you would have thought these guys aren't going to go anywhere. But that's why he told them, don't try to do this on your own. Mm-hmm. You're going to stay in the city until the Spirit comes.
Yeah.
And he doesn't tell them, you know, sometimes we talked about how in the Great Commission he says, you got to go and preach the gospel.
You know, it's surprising because Jesus, you know, Peter had a pretty good track record if you look back.
Like,
you know, when he said, you know, Lord, no, I'll never let you die. And, no, wait. And then, you know, well, there was the other time when he said that he would never leave him or,
Yeah.
I guess he didn't have a good track record.
Yeah. I mean, if those guys would have gone out that day and started preaching, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah, they would have, they didn't have the, you know, they didn't have the fire of the Holy Spirit burning within them to impel them in the truth that was there.
Yes.
I mean, because they were, not that they didn't love the Lord and not that they didn't want to serve the Lord and be his apostles because they were, because they were with him for 3 years and they, Jesus taught them, but to go out and proclaim the truth boldly without fear.
Yes.
That's the, you know, that's something that humanly I don't think they were even ready to do that.
No, no. And that's a big change from how they had been operating.
Yeah. A huge change.
They didn't do
a
anything boldly.
No. They, you know, and I use Peter as an example because Peter really is a great example for every one of us, whether you're a believer or a non-believer. Peter's a great example of the human condition.
Yes.
I'm going to do it now.
Yeah.
And I'll be right there, Lord.
Yeah.
And then 5 minutes later, oh, wait a minute, I don't think I'm prepared for that.
Yeah.
You know, or I see that the task is too much. I can't do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, that's the key there is I can't do this on my own.
And even when he tried to do something good, you know, he jumped out of the boat to run to the shore.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's very impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, when, you know, the second part of this commissioning is don't do anything yet.
Yeah.
You got to wait for the power. You got to wait for the promise of the Father. You got to wait to be clothed with power.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to be my witnesses.
Yeah.
They really, at that point, couldn't have really witnessed to much.
No. And you know, you said they'll be clothed with power. Not
yes.
their own power.
Right.
But the power of
That's
God.
Right.
The power of the Holy
right.
Spirit.
And they're going to be clothed with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, like sometimes I hear some people that I won't mention any names, but say like, well, you know, that power you have inside of you to do these things. And well, the Bible's pretty clear. We don't have a lot of power inside of us.
Yeah.
Jesus never said to these guys, well, you know, that power you guys have inside of you, that's what's going to get you through this. No, he says, you got to wait here till you're clothed with power.
Yeah.
It's not going to be your power. You're going to be used,
mm-hmm.
but the power's not going to come from you.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a very good point and a very big distinction that needs to be made because, you know, in and of ourselves, we may do some good things, but, you know, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that God can impel us to do great things for the kingdom and for, you know, for others
yeah.
to come into the kingdom.
That's right.
You know, because if you look at, and we've talked about this many times on the shows, is that, you know, God upheld his plan not because of anything the human race did.
Mm-hmm.
Quite the contrary.
Yeah.
He upheld, you know, he did things for the sake of his holy name. He did things because he loves his creation, because he wants us to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes a way for us to do that.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it shows his tremendous love and mercy that he has. That we're able to even, you know, enter into that with
yes.
him.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that, you know, we always say that, well, since we're Pentecostal charismatic types, but, you know, in all of the history of Christian ministry, mm-hmm. the power comes from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
If you try to do things on your own, if you try to do things in your own power, if you try to plan out all your stuff, it's not the same
mm-hmm.
as being available for the Spirit to move you to what he wants you to do.
Right.
And I think a lot of that, unfortunately, has been kind of lost in Christian ministry,
mm-hmm.
especially in the Western, you know, especially in Western culture.
Yeah.
Where we've kind of gotten used to the, oh, well, you know, I'm comfortable and I'm nice and I'll go to church, you know. Yeah, you know, once in a while I read something in the Bible. Once in a while I say a prayer. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm pretty busy and my kids are busy and I got a lot of stress at work. And, you know,
I just want to chill out.
Whereas, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas in, you know, I have a big park across the street from my house and I'm old. When I was a kid, nobody would have ever dreamed of having a Little League game on a Sunday morning.
No.
Because on Sunday, everything was closed. Everybody mm-hmm. went to church. Everybody stayed with their families.
Yep.
But now, there's soccer games, baseball games, any number of kid events going on Sunday mornings.
I was just going to say, not even wait until the afternoon.
No,
10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no. If they started at 1 p.m. or 2 p.m., okay.
Yeah.
But, oh, no, start right early in the morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the underdeveloped world, it's different because people are more dependent on God and less dependent on themselves.
Yeah.
They don't feel like we feel like we can control our lives. And we can say, yes, I'm going to church at 10 o'clock because this week that works out for me.
Yeah.
But next week I can't go because of this and that. And the week after that, I might go at 11:30 at this other church because that works out better for me. Because I got to fit this into my schedule.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of the activities that are on Sundays with sporting events and stuff are in the mornings now because the coaches really want to go and watch the football games. Get there in the morning. We'll get this out of the way.
Yeah. And that's not to say that having your kids play sports is something bad.
Right.
But there has to be a priority set that when it's Sunday morning, that's the time that we worship.
Yeah. I mean, that's the time that is really set aside to worship as a community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we get into the Acts of the Apostles here shortly, hopefully soon.
One of my favorite books.
After our introduction here. You know, there is talk about the first Christian communities and what it looked like. And, you know, the Acts of the Apostles is such an important account of the church and the history of the church, the early first community of the church,
right,
that if we didn't have this glimpse into it, I think our perception would be totally different of maybe what happened.
I think you're right. And we, because of the culture that we live in, this empowerment by the Holy Spirit, I mean, unless I'm not saying that it doesn't exist in people, because I mean, obviously we're involved in it and we, you know, we rely on the Holy Spirit to show us where to go, what to do and how we should do something,
right,
rather than our usual 16 hours of rehearsals we used to do.
Yeah.
No, actually we do like 0 minutes of rehearsal, but the, and you know, I'm not saying that's good or bad, but you know, if you don't depend on the Spirit to direct you, to show you what to do, you can go down all kinds of wrong tracks.
Right. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You have to, you know, the preparation really, for anything is, daily, you know, you have to talk with God daily.
Yes.
You have to have the conversation with him as you would talk to a friend. Because that's really what he's asking for. That's really what he wants.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't want a butler.
That's right.
Or a servant. I mean, we are there to serve, but you know, he spoke to Moses as a friend.
That's right.
Jesus laid his life down for us and says, I no longer call you slaves, but friends.
That's right.
I think that's very important to realize that there is an intimate friendship that God wants to have with us, that Jesus wants to have with us, that the Holy Spirit wants to have with us, that we can do what we see God doing. We can, you know, speak on behalf of what God's telling us to speak.
Yes.
And it's going to be fruitful because it's going to be in line with what God's plan is for us.
Yes. And although it tells us in many places, including the book of James.
Favorite book?
It's an all right book. It's a good book. When you get to heaven, you can call him Jim, but not while you're here.
Jimmy?
Actually, his name was Yaakov. But anyway, you know, the book of James, it tells us, you know, to pray, and we don't get things because we don't ask for them, because we pray amiss, and we should ask, and you should ask for the things that you want and so forth. But on the other hand, we can't look at God as a cosmic bellhop.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think in the, you know, in especially in the West, we tend to say, okay, here's what I want. Would you please do this, do this, do this, and don't let this, this, and this happen. And would you please take care of this, this, and this. And make sure I don't have to deal with this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Amen. and that's sort of the whole thing. And, you know, that's not, and this is kind of like probably why Jesus told these guys, don't do anything right now, but you need to go, you need to wait, you need to get ready, because then you're going to be empowered.
And pray.
Yeah. And you're going to be praying. You know, 120 people, upper room of one accord, as we're going to see, which is big. You can read Psalm 133 for your homework. We might mention it a little bit too, but it reminds me of a song called Hinei Matov. Let's have Steve sing that sometime.
Do I know that one?
You do.
Okay.
But, remind me later, we should advertise One in Messiah.
Okay.
But, we've been remiss at doing that.
What is One in Messiah?
Oh, it's a new ministry, but let's wait till after the break.
All right,
so they're directed to wait in the city. So interestingly, they go back to the upper room, which is a place that they know.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Supper happened in the upper room.
Right.
We don't know exactly whose house this was. I mean,
we don't.
Somebody's house. And when they had the Passover there, the last Seder that he had on earth that we call the Last Supper, you know, Jesus told them, you know, go to this house and he's going to show you a room that's also, mm-hmm. I mean, somebody owned this place.
Yeah.
Unless it was like a party center. I don't know.
It's a rent-a-center house.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. There's no account in scripture of whose house it was, who it belonged to, or, and it makes no mention of it.
Right.
Yeah.
But they could fit 120 people in the upper room. So
it's a big house.
It's a good sized room. And the interesting thing was that they went there to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't leave. I mean, they followed his command exactly the way he wanted them to do it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say that 120 of them were there and 7 or 8 of them left. And then another guy came in and then 6 of them left because they got tired of being there. And,
yeah.
You know, like we might do.
Right.
This is boring.
Let's I got to get out of here for a few days. We've been praying all this time. 72 hours, I'm tired of it.
But you get the impression from the scripture that the 120 of them were there
mm-hmm.
the whole 9 days.
Yep.
And they were of one accord and they were praying. And this is, of course, another key to how we should do Christian ministry rather than being divided up into, you know, 28,000 denominations and everybody praying in their own place and everybody saying different prayers. And we don't want to use the prayer that those people use. And we don't want to use the prayer that those other people use.
Right.
Because we're the only ones that got the prayers right. So, I mean, this is where we are now.
Yeah. There is a lot of that in our current culture.
And more all the time.
Yeah. It's as if we have lost the ability to have a conversation with each other about the core ideas of what we believe is true and why we believe it.
Yeah.
Instead, what it really is sound bites. This is my thought, but if I want to talk with somebody about it, the deeper understanding of what their thought is,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they can't go there,
uh-huh.
which is, you know, it raises a question in my mind. Okay, well, why do you believe what you believe?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really understand it? And can you explain it?
Yeah.
You know, or is it just, I mean, and if it's just faith, I believe it because I believe it, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But if it's just, you know, I don't know why I believe it, then that can be problematic because you don't really know what you believe and why you believe it. You know?
Or there's more emphasis put on less important things.
Yeah.
Than there are on major things.
Right.
And you have the situation that we're living in. It's not just our politics that's been fractured. It's kind of everything.
Everything has been fractured. The whole foundation.
And I think that because Jesus understood this, he told these guys to set yourself apart for a while
mm-hmm.
until something happens to you.
Yeah.
That's the first break already. We haven't even started.
Well, we better get going.
Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. No place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Your great Yeshua, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name, your great name, your great
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Now, that's an awesome song.
Woo!
From the CD of the same name, Your Great Name.
Your Great
Name. I got it right that time.
You got it right.
Go to WilburnMinistries.com and buy that.
Yeah.
It'll blow you away.
Your Great Name is a great song. Now, what's this thing you mentioned before the break? Something, One in Messiah?
One in Messiah.
What is that? What's that all about?
Yes. Well, Stephen and I have... started, I guess, what you would call a new ministry. Of course, it's a subsidiary of Gift of Grace Ministries.
Yes.
But it's a prayer meeting that's held on Friday nights where Steve does messianic music. And some of the music you hear during the breaks and that introduce our show and close out our show, which is messianic Jewish music. And if you're not familiar with that term, a messianic Jew is a Jewish believer. And we have messianic praise and worship. We have a teaching. We have some fellowship, some prayer time. And it's held at New Life Fellowship in Parma, which is at 5994 Ridge Road. It's Friday nights at about 6:15.
Is there a debate about the time right now?
There's a debate about the time. But,
6:15. Which shall we determine it to be? Yeah.
And I think you'll really like it. And it's basically... I generally, as you know from listening to the show, like to teach Old Testament, New Testament connections. And so come and join us sometime.
Yeah.
And we are Pastor Dan Short, who pastors New Life Church, is letting us use his church on Friday evenings. And that's very nice, and we're grateful for that. And
does he know that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He's even come to the first two.
Oh, that's
two.
Right. He was there. That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And soon there'll be some kind of a website up with some kind of stuff.
Sometime soon.
You can go on Facebook and look for One in Messiah
and
find some information, but we'll talk about that again later. But we got to get to Pentecost or else we're going to have 10 Pentecost shows.
We do.
Which is nothing wrong with that.
We do.
Nothing wrong with that. But maybe, Steve, you should read actually the account of Pentecost, which is in Acts chapter 2.
You don't want to read Acts chapter 1 first? When Jesus ascends and the
Let's do that. Yeah.
There's that good line in there.
Since we talked about it. Yeah.
There's that good line in there.
Let's do that.
So in Acts chapter 1, there's the promise of the Holy Spirit that is talked about, that Jesus is going to ascend and he's going to, they have to wait. And this is what we were talking about earlier. In Acts chapter 1 verse 4, while meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus is, when they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Jesus answered them and said, it is not for you to know the times or season that the Father has established by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly, two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? Don't laugh at him. This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away.
Ooh.
Now, the first community in Jerusalem, which is something we also mentioned earlier in the before the first break, it says when they entered the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying. I wonder how much they were getting charged a night for their rooms. Where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these devoted themselves with one accord to prayer, together with some women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. One accord.
One accord. That's the key.
Yeah. Now, what does one accord mean? I don't know if that term really rings a bell with anybody in these days.
Yeah, probably not.
But
it comes from the Latin with one heart.
Mm-hmm.
We would say with one mind, but you know, ancient people thought your emotions were in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one accord, one heart, one mind, agreement mm-hmm. on everything.
Yeah.
They prayed intently and there were no divisions among them. And there weren't factions among them, and there weren't people saying, hey, listen, I'm going to take charge here because these other guys, I don't know what they're doing. Everybody was together as a group. It's this unity of brethren. And I referred earlier to Psalm 133, which is one of my favorite psalms, mm-hmm. because it's kind of a prefigurement of this, and it is also a great messianic song that we should play sometime, but and you can learn a little Hebrew while you're listening to it. But it's about how awesome it is for brothers to dwell together. You know, it's like oil being poured over you and going mm-hmm. down onto your beard and onto your clothes. And oil, of course, is a prefigurement of the Holy Spirit, a symbol of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Then it talks about on the Mount Hebron when the dew. It's like dew from Hebron. You know, there's snow there and the water goes down. You know, and water's another symbol of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So when brothers are dwelling in unity, the Holy Spirit can intervene.
Right.
When there's not division. And so Psalm 133 kind of prefigures this because when brothers are dwelling together, there's oil that comes down, there's water that comes down, and the oil. And you can read Psalm 133 for your homework. I'm just summarizing it. But the oil doesn't just like sort of dot you on the head or, you know, you get a drop on your finger or something. It like
right.
gets poured over you and it goes on your hair, goes down your beard, goes onto your clothes.
You're saturated
with oil because it's this tremendous outpouring of the Spirit that fills them.
And that's a great description
mm-hmm.
that you're saturated with. You know, you're not just covered in it.
Mm-hmm.
You're saturated in it. And not that it just covers your skin, but it saturates and penetrates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the image that we should have of what God wants to do when he sends the Holy Spirit upon us is to immerse us in and just fill us mm-hmm. from inside out
mm-hmm.
with Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes. And we did, I think, I don't remember how long ago we did a show about this sort of limited outpouring of the Spirit in the Old Testament
mm-hmm.
in the wilderness with Eldad, Medad, and all those guys.
Were they still late for church?
They were.
Oh.
They always were late for church.
I don't
know why.
You could
never count on these guys. They'd come in, you know, the service was half over. They'd come traipsing
in. Strolling in. But they still got the Spirit.
And they said they still got the Spirit.
Still got the Spirit.
And they kept, and you know, the rabbi, no, it wasn't the rabbi. Moses kept saying, you guys, the service started at 10, it's 10:45.
Has anybody seen Eldad and Medad?
Yeah.
No.
But, you know, it says when the Spirit fell on the elders there in the wilderness, they prophesied once and never did it again.
Yeah.
So in other words, it wasn't the oil being poured out with all this overwhelming anointing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, somebody putting a drop of oil on them, they did something, and that was the only time they did it.
Yeah.
But now, with Pentecost, with the outpouring of the Spirit, because, of course, this is made possible by Jesus dying on the cross and moving into the new covenant,
mm-hmm.
the Spirit's now poured out without measure.
Yeah.
There's not a limited Holy Spirit.
Right.
There's not like, well, I got like 1 gram of it, so I can only do this much stuff.
Right.
The Spirit's poured out without measure.
Yeah, and this is really important in understanding the new covenant, because the Holy Spirit, as you just said, is poured out without measure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus tells the woman at the well, have we ever done a show on the woman at the well?
I think a couple.
Couple?
But you can never do enough.
No, of course not. You know, Jesus tells the woman at the well, and she, you know, you worship what you don't understand or don't know.
Right.
We worship what we do know. We worship in Jerusalem.
Yes.
But there's going to be a day where you're not going to worship on that mountain that you mm-hmm. worship on or in this temple,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
I mean, what exactly does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to worship in God in spirit and in truth, not on this temple in Jerusalem, not mm-hmm. on that mountain in Mount Gerizim,
mm-hmm.
but in spirit and truth. Because the Holy Spirit is going to dwell within you. And it's not to say that we don't gather for congregational worship.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly do need community.
Right.
But as the Spirit is poured out, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Holy Spirit impels us and enables us. It reminds us of all truth that Jesus spoke and taught. And to worship God in spirit and in truth is more than singing a song, but it's really how you live your daily life. It's an act of worship to the Lord, unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But as you were talking about One and Messiah, this ministry that we're having on Friday evenings, you know, that's part of the essence of the worship is worshiping in spirit and in truth.
Mm.
In the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And that whole idea of, you know, the Old Testament worship was, you know, sacrifice, standing around praying. Now it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the sacrifice is done.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more blood sacrifice.
Right.
The Holy Spirit indwells us.
Right.
As believers. Mm-hmm. So now we're focused on Jesus, what he did on the cross. We understand how we're saved. We're being filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So we not only can approach the throne boldly,
mm-hmm.
like it says in my favorite book of Hebrews,
is
we have such an intimate connection now with the Godhead
yeah.
that we worship in a totally different way than they would have worshiped at the temple.
Yeah. And, you know, St. Paul says that the Spirit intercedes for us when mm-hmm. when we don't know how to pray.
That's right.
With inexpressible groanings.
Woo.
And
it's my second favorite book.
Second favorite book. But that we can approach God boldly and call him Daddy.
Yes.
Now, I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
I can approach God boldly, covered in the blood of Messiah, in the blood of Yeshua, and I can approach God and say, Daddy.
Mm.
And if I don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit can intercede for
yes.
me and yeah. utter a song or a prayer yeah. of praise to
yeah.
the Father.
Yeah, because it says there in Romans 8 that we don't know how to pray.
Right.
So the Spirit comes into our spirit.
Acts on our behalf and intercedes for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, that is totally different than the temple worship, the
yeah.
sacrificial worship
totally
that took
different.
Place in the Old Testament. So, you know, as you're talking about the new covenant, this is the essence. This is part of the essence of the new covenant. It's not
yes.
the whole new covenant,
right.
but it's part of it.
That's right. And this is, maybe we'll read the Pentecost scripture, but, and this is basically why you've probably heard of the Feast of Pentecost being called the birthday of the church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly the cross is the center point.
Right.
But between the cross and Pentecost Sunday, you know, there were appearances of the risen Jesus, and there, you know, the disciples were just kind of in this awkward state of they didn't really know what was going on, and
right.
maybe we should go back to fishing, but I don't know. But then everything changes on that Sunday morning.
Yeah, when the Holy Spirit falls.
Yeah, and since we talked about Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the fact that Jesus rose from the dead on the Feast of the First Fruits, Pentecost is the Jewish feast, the Israelite feast of Shavuot, that means the Feast of Weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So each of these great feasts of the Lord is used in a powerful way to not only show how Messiah ushers in the new covenant in his blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, as the writer to the Hebrews says, but with his own blood, ushers in the new covenant, rises from the dead as a sign, the ultimate sign, that this was true and that this covenant was now in effect. But then at the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, which we use the Greek word Pentecost, which means 50 days, the Holy Spirit's poured out with full measure, and all these evangelists go out from Jerusalem. It has to start in Jerusalem, which we're going to get to, Isaiah chapter 2. There are 64 other chapters after that in Isaiah. But the word of the Lord goes forth from Jerusalem. And as I always tell people during some of my teachings, we Gentile believers are all here because of an on-fire Jewish evangelist at the beginning.
Yeah.
Those guys went out of that city and preached in the whole world.
Yeah.
And as Gentiles were converted and they were filled with the Spirit and they spread the gospel, of course. But we're all here originally because of an on-fire Jewish evangelist who went out into the world following the Great Commission and being empowered by Pentecost.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to – you want me to read from Acts chapter 2?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Finally.
Before Pentecost is over.
Before the show is over. So I just think it's the right time to do it. So Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, when the time of Pentecost was fulfilled – they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement, they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God. They were all astounded and bewildered and said to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others said, scoffing, 'They have had too much new wine.'"
Okay, let's pause there for a minute.
There's always a scoffer.
Because that's right. There's always scoffers.
Yeah.
You know, Peter says that the last day there'll be scoffers saying, "Oh, come on, everything's always the same as it's always been."
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a break already.
It's a break. Well, we got the Pentecost. That's good.
Well, this was good. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great I am. The great I am.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So we got to Pentecost morning. Interestingly, I would be remiss to not point out that when that chapter 2 starts, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and we have to go back to Hebrew feast days, because the feast of Shavuot, Shavuot means weeks. It's the feast of weeks, because in Leviticus 23 and some other places, but Leviticus 23 is probably the best example. God tells the people that you count the days from the first Sabbath after Passover. You count 7 weeks. You count to 49 days. Mm-hmm. And then the following day is Pentecost, Shavuot. So it's called the Feast of Weeks in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And it's called counting the Omer. Because, you know, in those days, they didn't have great calendars like we do.
Right.
So as each day went by, they counted the day so they would know when they were at the 50th day.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Alexander the Great's people commissioned an Old Testament in Greek, which is the Septuagint, it got to be called Pentecost for 50 days.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why it happens then. And Pentecost, Shavuot, is one of the three pilgrimage feasts.
Mm-hmm.
So every man, women don't have to do it, but I'm sure that most of them did, have to go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Shavuot. And interestingly, that's also mentioned here because all these people mention that they're from all these different places,
mm-hmm.
and they hear these Galileans, but they hear them in their own language.
Yeah.
So this is why the scripture takes great pains in mentioning each of these places where these people are from, because they're all in Jerusalem because it's Pentecost.
Yeah.
So not only does the Holy Spirit come, but he comes at a time where there's an audience waiting for Peter to come and do his sermon, which we'll probably get to in a couple of weeks. But, maybe, but, you know, there's the, everybody knows there were 3,000 people added that day.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows at the base of Mount Sinai, there were 3,000 people killed when they made the golden calf. But, you know, it's kind of a mirror of that. But now there's 3,000 people saved.
Yeah.
But all these people are in Jerusalem to celebrate the feast day.
Yeah. Just as they were there for Passover.
Yes. And there's these manifestations of the Spirit. You know, there's this rushing wind. Like, there's enough power that people come from around the city to see what's going on there.
They hear it. Yeah.
Yes, they hear it. So this wasn't just some little breeze blowing through the place. I mean, there were people, there were people a couple miles away that said, what's going on over there?
What's that big noise? Yeah.
Yeah. And fire. And, you know, this is interesting. And we know that it was a Sunday morning that year.
Yeah.
It's not always a Sunday morning, but it was a Sunday morning that year, which was also Resurrection Day was also a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So. We're not going to get into the Sabbath versus Sunday thing. But interestingly, you know, both of these great events of the New Testament take place on a Sunday.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things. If you really study scripture and you look at it, unobjectively, I should say, and without the bias of, sometimes that's there, that can be there. you know, when the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius' household and Peter's told to go there to a Roman centurion's house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Roman soldiers just escorted Jesus up to Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
And he was crucified. So you're going to go and talk to a Roman centurion. The Holy Spirit's telling you to go and talk to this Roman centurion.
Yeah. You'd probably want to stay away from those Romans.
Yeah. So, you know, God does things not, and Jesus says to Peter, you know, you're thinking as a human being does and not as God does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times we can get stuck, you know, all of us as humans, we can get stuck in thinking that just can't be, you know, that just can't be. And certainly has to line up with scripture. But like you said, you don't want to get into the whole, you know, Sabbath versus Sunday thing. There is, you know, the act of worship is remembering that Jesus rose from the dead. And, mm-hmm. and it's important to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to celebrate that because without it, we have nothing.
Yeah, amen.
And the debate shouldn't be, you know, the debate shouldn't be, oh, you know, Sabbath versus Sunday. The debate should be, did he rise, you know, he rose from the dead. Let's celebrate that.
Yeah.
And let's celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is the promise of the Father. And let's worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what it should be.
Exactly.
Not all this other stuff.
Yeah.
It's just my commentary.
Yeah. And Jesus, Yeshua himself said, that he was the Lord of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know, the Sabbath wasn't made, I mean, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man.
So that we can rest and spend
so
time
we can
with
rest.
God.
And he's the Lord of the Sabbath. The resurrection happens on the Sunday.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit comes on the Sunday.
So why not just worship for 2 days?
That's my answer to the thing. I say, let's just worship, you know, the morning of Shabbat, and let's just worship Sunday morning, too.
Start Friday evening and end Sunday evening. You know, start Friday evening, end Sunday evening, then go to work Monday.
Yeah, and if you come to One in Messiah, you'll see a little bit of that.
You'll see a lot of that.
Yeah, a lot of that, actually.
A little bit of that, yeah.
Yeah, but kind of interesting, too, the Spirit doesn't come in a cloud, you know, like the Shekinah cloud.
Mm-hmm.
He comes with fire, mm-hmm. and he comes with wind, you know, and he's dispelling clouds. He's not coming as a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it suddenly happened. He suddenly came in power. It wasn't any kind of, the preparation was their prayer time in one accord. But when he came suddenly in power. I can't believe the show's over already.
Well, it's a good thing we got the Pentecost.
I just got into my Pentecost notes.
Well, we're going to have to finish.
Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Pentecost day.
And we just pray that the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon the apostles at Pentecost would come upon your life this day and be baptized in the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord and to be reminded of all the truth that Jesus taught. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.